You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops. We bring you the best of Israeli basketball all the way up north in Aria, down south a lot, and all the great cities in between, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And of course, if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, and we are coming up close to our 300th episode. Yes, number 300 is coming up, and we will be having special guests for that show. I can guarantee you that. And, of course, if you like this podcast, make sure you subscribe. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, leave us a five-star rating, and also write a good review. Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever vehicle you listen to your shows and your podcasts. Also, you want to check us out at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We are the only website in Israel that brings you Israeli sports in both, especially focusing on the sport that we all love the most, basketball, hoops the round ball. Yes, it is. And of course, to talk about basketball, we bring on none other than my son and good friend, and of course, photographer extraordinaire. It is Dov Halichman. What's going on there, Dovster?
What's doing? What's up?
All right, doing well here in Jerusalem. Dov, we got to start off. I mean, I know we're going to talk about Maccabi Tel Aviv, Apollo Tel Aviv, but the big game coming up Sunday night, game four, as Apollo Tel Aviv looks to even up the series, Maccabi winning 2-1. They will look to try to send that series to a fifth game. We're going to talk about Jerusalem, Gilboa, Galil, what's going on there, the other two series as well that wrapped up. But we've got to first talk about none other than the EuroLeague Championship, the EuroLeague Final, just ended, and we got to focus right on that. And boy, oh boy, we got an interesting game. I won't say it was a great game. It was definitely not a great game. Anadolu Efes, 58. Real Madrid, 57. They are back-to-back champions. I think Ergun Ataman would probably say that this is a three-peat, even though they didn't compete for it during the Corona year when it was all canceled. But listen, Anadolu Efes once again takes the championship. They did a fantastic job. They have, I got to say, two of the best players in the EuroLeague, if not the two best players in the EuroLeague, in Shane Larkin and Vasily Micic. Micic, MVP performance, 23 points. And, of course, in the semifinals, he hit the game-winning three-pointer against Olympiakos to send them into the final. Tibor Pleiss, 19 points, a terrific performance from him as well. Great, you know, they just did a great job when they needed those points at the end of the game. They got them. They scored the most points in that last quarter. They did 18 points. They had scored 14, 15, 11, and then 18. Real Madrid, on the other hand, only had one player in double digits, Walter Tavares with 14. It was an odd game from them. Sergio Uyghur, 9 points, 6 points. Anthony Randolph, yes, he still exists. A couple of three-pointers from the old veteran. It was just a very strange game. It was both teams played very nervous, very cautious. And I got to tell you, Dov, I was super surprised at the last play. You had about, you know, a ton of time left on the clock. You're only down by 1 point at that point, right? 58-57. Why is Real Madrid, and I know Efes has the ball, why is Real Madrid not fouling to put Efes on the line and to then, you know, get the ball back? I mean, wouldn't you want to foul, get the ball back, and have a chance to tie the game up? And you would have had at least 10, 12 seconds on the clock. You could have set up a nice play, nice time. Doesn't matter if you take the ball full court. I don't understand Pablo Laso at the end. I just don't understand it, though. I don't get it.
Yeah. The whole game, it felt like the teams don't want to score. And so did it feel at the last possession of Real Madrid. Just didn't seem like they wanted the ball back. They were afraid to get the ball back and then miss her. I don't know why. Like, Like, what's the worst that could have happened if they would have fouled? They would have fouled. The guy, whoever would shoot, would score twice from the line, and then they get the ball from half court or after a timeout or from full court with like 15 seconds, 12 seconds, 10 seconds. That's huge. You can get like, you can get a three-pointer and tie the game up and then go to overtime, and then it's a whole new game. That would have been like maybe one of the worst scenarios for Real Madrid in that possession. So it's kind of weird, and I don't understand it. I don't know. I don't know how Lasso then told them to foul. I mean, it's called a European type of thing to do, to foul there at the end, and he literally didn't do it. So I really don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. And, you know, quite amazingly, Elijah Bryant made history by winning not only the NBA title with the Milwaukee Bucks, but also a EuroLeague title the same season with Anadolu Efes.
And not just that, he had a three-peat. He had the Winter League, and then the Euro, and then the NBA, and then the Euro League titles.
Well, listen, he's a pretty good player. What can I tell you? I mean, he didn't score any points in 28 minutes, but that was not his job tonight. His job was to play defense, and he played spectacular defense. His scoring, thankfully for Efes, if Elijah Bryant doesn't score, like I think, believe 16 points, 17, 18 points, whatever it was in that semifinal game, Olympiacos is in the finals because Micić and Larkin were not there at the beginning of that game. Boy, did they do a great – I mean, listen, I got to give these guys credit. Now, Dove, I have a question to you. Does it pay to lose to pick your poison in the quarterfinal round?
Yeah, it seems so.
Does, eh?
It does.
It does.
Enough said.
Hamevin Yavin. Yeah. We don't have to go any further than that. But, you know, when you lose on purpose and you can pick the opponent you want, you kind of put yourself in a good position to get into a Final Four and then, you know, win the EuroLeague title. So congratulations to Efes. You know, sportsmanlike, not sportsmanlike. I'm sure you may hear some comments coming out of, you know, the Israeli camp or say, you know, about that. But listen, you know, that's, you got to win. That's what it is. You got to find ways to win. And if that's going to give you a competitive advantage to play against a weaker opponent in your quarterfinal series, because the quarterfinals, of course, were best of five series, not one games like the Final Four, then you got to do it. And, you know, you can talk about being the moral police all the way to the, you know, all the way to the bank. But at the end of the day, they've got the chip. So congratulations to Anadolu Efes. Dove, let's move on to Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Tel Aviv. Maccabi Tel Aviv went into game three, Yad Eliyahu. They had won the first two games against Hapoel Tel Aviv, who they had had trouble with all season long, losing two league regular season games and a State Cup knockout game to the Reds, which ultimately cost Yanis Varopoulos his job. As the head coach, Avi Evan takes over. They look, you know, good in the first two games. I wouldn't say they looked spectacular or great, but they did enough to win, and they moved on. Game three, Maccabi Tel Aviv literally showed up and thought that showing up would be enough to win the series. And
They showed up?
Well, they were physically there, right? Mentally, not okay. So sure. Physically, yes, they were there in body. You know, they were there.
In uniform.
They were there in uniform. Did they play like they were in uniform? Did they play as basketball players? That is remains to be questioned. Some players definitely put it all on the line, like Oz Blazer, got to give a shout-out to him. You know, did what he could. And also, we should also mention that he was wearing special sneakers to recognize Crohn's disease and colitis. So, got to mention that as well. He's a good man.
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, boy, other than Oz Blazer, I don't know if anybody showed up in that game for Maccabi. And they thought that, you know, that Hapoel was going to, you know, just really, you know, just turn like, over.
Roll out the red carpet.
Roll over and play dead, right? And that just didn't happen. Yeah. They went after Maccabi. They lose to Jacoban Brown late in the second quarter to a neck injury. He has just gone to the hospital. And they just kept pounding them and pounding them and pounding them. And, you know, even though Derek Williams hit that fluke three-pointer to cut it to 9 points at halftime, you figured Maccabi's going to come out and blow them out of the water to make sure they don't have to go to the back to the drive-in for game four. And that's not what they did. They ended up increasing their lead to 23 points. And I asked Danny Franco after the game, what do you tell your team when you're up by 23 points with 10 minutes left? And he said, you know, I told them, we all know that Maccabi Tel Aviv can go on a massive run and cut that lead down in a couple minutes. And I had to coach every single play like it was the last. Every play, I'd be focused, every substitution. That's what he did. The Sports Rabbi is going to have an article coming out about Danny Franco ahead of game four, just about who he is, his belief, and, you know, kind of a profile for those that aren't familiar so much with Danny Franco and who he is. But
he knows how to win rings.
Yeah, he knows how to win rings. He won a state cup with Hapoel Holon. That was his hometown team. He won Hapoel Jerusalem's first ever, think about that, first ever league championship. He came ultra close to winning with Maccabi Haifa in the two-game series against Maccabi Tel Aviv the year before that. Danny Franco is a good coach. And, boy, Maccabi's going to have to really be pay attention in game four, though. That's not going to be a pleasant atmosphere. The Hapoel Tel Aviv fans are going to be behind their team. We don't know yet if Jacoban Brown will play. You know, if Jacoban Brown can play, he will. Like, if he can walk, if he can breathe, you know that he's going to be on the court. If he feels that he can be of any ounce of help, he will be in uniform. If he can't, he won't. That's Jacoban Brown.
Just to drag defensive attention, even, he's valuable. So he's a great player, no matter. That's the thing about Jacoban, is that he doesn't even have to touch the ball to be an effective player for Hapoel Tel Aviv in such a series. Just his presence, his leadership, him dragging the defense to wherever he is, to the wings, makes a big difference for Hapoel Tel Aviv's game plan.
You know, Joe, if you look at this game right now, Maccabi, it doesn't want to go to a game five. There's no question, right? That's the last thing they want to have to do, say, on a Wednesday night, is to show up at Yad Eliyahu and have.
They didn't want to go to game four either.
Yeah, but they did. Well, they did. Well, they certainly didn't play that way. They thought they were going to be playing against in a doormat, and that's not what happened. You know that Hapoel Tel Aviv is going to be psyched up by their crowd. You know what it's going to be like in that drive-in arena. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a terrific atmosphere. I don't think there's any other arena in this country that provides the atmosphere. I know my ears are going to be ringing by 11 something tomorrow night. That I'm clear of. Is Maccabi Tel Aviv going to show up? Because on paper, Maccabi Tel Aviv is the better team, right? I mean, talent wise, but these guys Avi Evans says, mechuyavut. There's no commitment that he. You know, he says that there's commitment, commitment, commitment. Are these players committed? Are James Nunnally, Derek Williams, who actually spoke pregame, Jalen Reynolds, who's been an absolute disaster this series in place of Ante Zizic. And listen, on one hand, I understand it's not easy to come in. You've basically been written off by your coach, and now you have to, like, show up for him. I get that. But are these guys going to show up? Jake Cohen has been – you know, a non-factor. Yiftach Ziv has been not very good. You have, you know, one player after the next that has just not been here. Are they going to show up in this game and finish the series off? Or are they going to go to a game five?
I'll tell you, Maccabi Tel Aviv without Ante Zizic is just not the same team this year. Ante Zizic is maybe overall their best player this season. He's scored. He's been playing really good defense this year relatively to the last season in Maccabi. And he's just a real factor in the paint for them. Without Zizic, I don't know how much Maccabi can do this season and in this series specifically. He's just that valuable to them. And players like Yiftach Ziv are just underperforming immensely, not just now, but recently, of course, but all season. And it's hard to win games when players that you expect to step up are struggling, or even when they do step up, they miss. So it's a big problem. Zizic is really missing in such a series where he could totally destroy the paint if he's there. I hope for him as a person that he gets better and he comes back to play. But it's a big miss for Maccabi that he's not there right now.
No, there's no question. He's missing. You know, he's a key piece. I mean, you look at a player like James Nunn, only Derek Williams, these guys have experience, right? I mean, they should score points. They should be able to do, you know, they should be able to do something. But they have so far, and the same thing with Jalen Reynolds, have proven everybody otherwise. Are these players going to show up this game? What are we going to see from them, Dove?
I don't know. It's hard to expect, but if we're looking at recent history, then the expectations is that they're not going to give much. But, you know, every game is a different thing, a different situation, a different story. I mean, I could see a player like Derek Williams stepping up tomorrow night and doing some damage.
Can he step up?
I think
he's capable.
I think he can, but he has to like try not to force shots, which he sometimes does. But credit to him, sometimes he hits them like that crazy half court shot. But that's like one in a million. It's really hard to predict. It's really, really hard to predict. I think it a lot of it depends on if Jakovin Brown will play or not. Even if he's just on the court, it's a totally different ball game.
No, for sure.
And I think that's what we should be focusing our attention towards, because you never know with a lot of the Makai players this year. The whole team has been extremely inconsistent. A lot of random things happen that some are in the team's control and some just aren't, whether it's COVID or Zizic's injury, other players getting injured. Just things haven't, you know, went smoothly for Maccabi this year. But at the end of the day, I think Jakovin Brown is the key part to this game.
Yeah, Jakovin Brown is definitely going to be a key part. Now, can we see repeat performances by Bart Tiamorti and Solomonson? Both have been playing extremely good. I see no reason why you won't see repeat performances by the two of them, Dove.
Yeah, I think Solomonson is always good because he's a big body in the paint. So regardless if he scores high or not, his presence and energy he brings to the floor is priceless. And it's not just energy as a cliche. He really steps up and he hustles, and you need that in a team, especially in Hapoel Tel Aviv. The hustle factor is always one of the highest value for Hapoel Tel Aviv, and they're built on that energy of the hustle. And Bart Timor, I think he'll do well again. I think he's a very experienced player, and you know, if he doesn't feel like he's shooting as well as the last time he played Maccabi in game three, he'll pass the ball, and he can do that too very well. He can drive to the basket. You see, a player like Bart Timor can do so many different things. He can play defense, he can pass, he can create space, he can shoot. So if one thing doesn't work for him, he can totally do the other, which he did also when he played for Hapoel Jerusalem. Even in games where he scored 3 points, he knew how to facilitate well in the minutes he got. And I give him a lot of credit for that, even when he was limited in minutes during his career in certain teams that he's played for.
Yeah, no, you gotta give him credit for that. No question there. All right, Dove, who's winning the game?
Good question. I'll put it this way. If Jakovin Brown plays over 15 minutes, Hapoel Tel Aviv win the game. If he doesn't play or plays less than 10 minutes, they're not. Maccabi will win the game.
So that is Dove's prediction over here. You know, it's very hard for me to pick against Maccabi Tel Aviv. In a game that you have five foreigners, you're going to basically have against 2.5 foreigners. You know, that's what it is, because there's no James Young as well. We don't know what Jakovin Brown's...
But you know what's stronger than a foreigner is a full house drive-in arena.
Oh, yes.
And that's a huge factor. We were speaking to a reporter recently who said that there's no home advantage in this series because, you know, both teams have went through so much this season. But you know what? The drive-in is always a home advantage for Hapoel Tel Aviv, and no one can convince me otherwise. When that place is packed and the fans are backing the players, Gil Benny can drop 30 points, and it wouldn't surprise me with the way they support their team.
Listen, Gil Benny Gil Benny, who is a role player, a bit role player, right? This is amazing. He was a bit role player for Hapoel Gilboa. Galil is one of the most important players on Hapoel Tel Aviv. It's amazing.
And that's credit to Danny Franco.
Yeah.
It's all Danny Franco.
Yeah, no question.
Where the credit's due, it's due. I really like Danny Franco's basketball. And I have a lot of respect towards him for a lot of years because you've basically been watching him coach for so long already. I mean, I remember meeting him. He coached Nahariya, I think, or yes, Netanya.
Like, of course.
We used to see him on the Sukkot holiday watching the games at the Malcha Arena. I think I even have a photo of him when I was like 9. Like, that's how long I've been watching coach, and he's unbelievable. And, you know, when he comes against any team, even if they're better, especially when he's at home, it's hard to stop him. Even when he coached in the arena in Jerusalem, when he was the coach of Hapoel Jerusalem, he knows how to make a home advantage a real advantage.
Yeah, listen, he's a good coach. A good coach. Let's move on to the other series is still going on as well. Hapoel Jerusalem, they're up 2-1 against Gilboa Galil. Game 4 will be up in Ganer on Monday night. I don't expect Gilboa to win this game. I do expect that Gilboa is going to make sure that there's 5 guys on the court in uniform that are going to, you know, play as hard and aggressive as they can. That there's no question. I think that that Guy Kaplan's done an admirable job considering that Tyus Battle has not been available this whole series. And now London Perantes is out as well over the last couple of games. He got hurt in the in game 2. Yes, so they stole a game, Gilboa did, in Jerusalem in the first game of the series. But this series is going to end. You know, I don't see – anything can happen. You know, I'm not going to put anything away. Anything can happen. But if you look at the quality, again, of the two teams, and Guy Kaplan coached a brilliant first 15 minutes or so, as best as he could with what he had, and I don't expect anything less out of them. But Jerusalem's going to win this series, and I think yesterday in my eyes is that this aggressiveness that Jerusalem is facing is going to make them much stronger when they do win the series, and then they have to face Holon. And going forward towards their ultimate goal, Dove. And I think that that is a very big benefit that that Gilboa is playing hard and they're playing clean. And I haven't seen anything that that indicates to me that it's been a dirty series. They played clean, and I expect that to continue. I don't think anybody's going to take any cheap shots. Nobody's going to injure anybody else. But I, you know, got to give credit to Gilboa. And I think that this is a series that could really be pivotal for Jerusalem's chances of winning the championship.
Yeah, I think so, especially that they're going to have to face Holon next series if they go up, 100%. And you know what? Forget the next series. It'll help uphold Jerusalem towards the upcoming game against Bilbao Galil, where they're going to have to deal with more of the same and maybe even tougher, especially that they're going to have to go up to the Gilboa to play that game in Ganer, which is a very, very homely type of arena. Oh, but overall, sure. this season, I mean, regardless of this specific series, I mean, credit. I mean, you mentioned credit to Gilboa Galil. It's important just to mention this podcast. Credit to all the 8 teams who made the playoffs this season. I think they all well earned the right to be here, and it's been an extremely competitive winter league season here in the Israeli league. And you know, Gilboa Galil might lose 3-1 this series, but I really respect the journey they did this season. I didn't know what Guy Kaplan can do. And wow, I was really impressed.
He got his team in the playoffs.
And he won a game.
And he won a game. That's a massive accomplishment against Jerusalem in Jerusalem.
Yeah, 100%.
You got to give them credit. This is a team, and I remember – at the beginning of the season, we looked at this team. Boy, they have no talent. This team is going down, and they've had injuries all season long. One problem player after the next. It's been a disaster all year in the medical sense of this team. With Sasha Kalia Jones out, now you have London Perantes is out. You had players that were fit, not fit. They had to get fit. They weren't in shape. They were in shape, and their back weren't in shape. It was just they've done a great job. There's no question.
Yeah.
They've done a spectacular job. The other two series, Dove, let's go to Bnei Herzliya. They disposed of Hapoel Haifa in 3 straight games. I don't think and handily, right? Haifa, tried that second game. They were close. They could have won. some referee calls here or there. Ultimately, though, Benet Herzliya is the better team. And they have arguably two of the best players in the league in Chinenu Onuwaku and, of course, friend of the show, Chris Babb. And then to go home with DJ Cooper, who they signed, to replace Quinton Hooker, who was injured and who is better now, and unfortunately for him, and I feel bad. You know, it's just a brutal situation that he's not going to get back into. He's not going to play because DJ Cooper has just been spectacular. They are the State Cup holders, and they're, a team that is going to challenge for this championship, Dove.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Hapoel Haifa against any, if they would have played any other team in this quarterfinal round, they would have won at least a game, in my opinion, no matter who they would have faced. But credit, listen, Herzliya is an unbelievable team. And I've been saying that they could win the championship this year. I think they have the best odds right now, the way they're performing. And it wouldn't surprise me at all that we'd have one of the first teams, one of the very few teams ever that have won the Israeli double aside from Maccabi Tel Aviv.
No, there's no question over there that could be history for Benet Herzliya. And Orna Aharoni has done a spectacular job as the head coach. And again, I'll say this, and I said this all season long, after struggling all year last year and they just made it in, they decided to go with five foreigners all season long. And that is why one of the reasons that they've been extremely competitive all year. And the fact that they went with five foreigners made sure that they weren't going to have a repeat of last year where they were clinging on to dear life and weren't relegated. But they've also picked out players. I mean, Zufar Avdija, is there a better general manager in the league than him right now?
I don't think so.
I mean, is there anybody better? I mean, he picked literally every foreigner, then picked Maurice Kempf off the trash heap from Rishon LeZion. He's done a spectacular job. I mean, every player was a bingo, and the Israelis as well. I mean, amazing, absolutely amazing. I mean, they have solid players all around, and that a lot of credit goes to him. Let's move over to Hapoel Holon. They also basically defeated Galil Elyon 3-0 in a fairly easy series. Again, game two in Galil was a little bit tougher. Galil came to play in game three and then, just ran out of steam in the last half. Without Gabi Chachashvili, obviously a different Galil Elyon team. Even with if they would have had him, I don't know if they would have been able to win the series. Paul Holon looking now to make up for the Basketball Champions League Final Four, where they lost in the semifinals. And they're also a pretty darn good team. So Guy Goodis is having his players, running on fifth gear right now. And they're just doing a great job, though.
100%. Listen, credit to them. They're doing a great job this season. And I think they're going to keep moving along. They're another team that wouldn't surprise me if they go all the way.
Yeah, I mean, Hapoel Holon have good players. They have a couple of good players that are not even dressed, and Hayden Dalton and Adam Smith. And they're just, doing well. Michael Kaiser's looking good, which is important for the team. Tyrus McGee with 41 points in that third game was just spectacular. I mean, he was just phenomenal. Great player. Another great, we talked about best midseason acquisitions. Well, he's been a pretty darn good one. And Sue Brimo for Jerusalem has also been pretty good. But right now, DJ Cooper, of course, I think is, has really been the glue to that team in Herzliya. But Holon, nonetheless, they're going to be a very tough out. If they play Jerusalem, it's going to be a tough series. We'll talk about that as we get, we have to still Gilboa. We don't want to write them off yet. They're going to have a tough time. There's no question. And Guy Kaplan's not hiding that fact. He's basically said, we're going to go out there and what was the quote that he gave on TV? That he's going to smash into everything.
Blow things up.
So we'll see. I don't think he's going to be blowing things up, but You know, anything can happen. Anything can happen on the basketball court, but it's much harder to win a basketball than say in soccer, unless, of course, you are Hapoel Tel Aviv, where they're going to lose their, I don't know, 100th derby in a row to Maccabi Tel Aviv coming up.
The Twitter page that counts how many days since Hapoel Tel Aviv won the derby still lives upon us.
It's a long time. It's a long time. As we record this, Maccabi Tel Aviv is up 2-0 in the 87th minute. That game is going to probably end very soon, we hope. Of course, there was a lot of extracurricular activity. You know, it's tough. You know, I'm not going to get into the soccer right now. Of course, there's also a State Cup final between Maccabi Haifa and Hapoel Be'er Sheva coming up this week as well. Dov, any final thoughts as we go into this week of games? And, of course, game four, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Tel Aviv, and then Jerusalem Gilboa. Any final thoughts? Any other things you want to mention before we move on and close out the show?
Listen, it's a huge week for two of the biggest franchises in Israel and Israeli basketball. And both of them have a huge challenge ahead, and nothing's a given this year. And that's just going to keep being what it is this season. And this is the first year in a long time. I really have no idea who's going to win the championship.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has any idea. I think there's a good four teams that can, you know, four or five teams that can really still win this title. Question about that. Well, speaking of winning titles, we should mention that Kiryat Atta are the champions of the Lumit League, Dov. And by becoming champions of the Lumit League, that usually means that you're going to go and move up to the top league, the Premier League. However, interestingly enough, the way that the Winter League congratulated them in their tweet and in the, you know, media posts that they put up, they really didn't refer to them as coming into the Premier League and just referred to them as the champions of the Little Meat League. The sponsor, the head sponsor of the team, has already said that, you know, he will make sure that there's going to be no problem financially. Sharon Abrahami has done a great job. He deserves a hell of a lot of credit. Corin Giorno, it was, you know, the story of him who played with Gilboa Galil last year. He's very, very short. I mean, I don't even know, maybe he's 5'1", 5'2", 5'3", whatever it is. He came back from cancer. He scores 13 points in that championship game. He's had actually a phenomenal season this year for Kiryat Atta. They deserve a lot of credit, and they didn't have the biggest budget. They didn't have the best players. You looked at Nahariya or Maccabi Haifa, who, you know, really tried to win the championship and move right back up, and both of those teams weren't able to do it. It's not easy to win in the Lumit League. Kiryat Atta are the champions of the Lumit, and that is a huge, huge accomplishment, Dove.
Yeah, for sure. Congrats to them. A great story. They came with no home advantage to the finals and I'm hoping we'll see them in the Israeli League, Premier League, this coming season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, it's really unfortunate that a team like Rishon LeZion, who has been such a stalwart for over a decade in the Premier League, will, you know, supposedly be departing after being relegated. Of course, anything can happen in this league, as we've seen and we know. Who knows? Until, mm-hmm. you know, in 5 minutes, we might find out there's going to be 14 league teams in the league, right? And anything mm-hmm. quite can happen. You know, they're losing a team in the center of the country, and they're gaining another team in the north. Which is nice. I mean, that's also, you know, a place where you want to be. You know, Haifa and Nahariya, who were in the Premier League for many years, are in essence kind of replaced by Galil Elyon and could be, of course, now Kiryat Atta. So, you know, that is a positive. That's definitely something that the league should be happy about. And we know that they're going to be playing the Winter Cup preseason tournament is going to take place in Hadera. At their brand new arena as well, which is going to be, you know, very good for the community over there too. So, Dov, where can people reach out to you if they want to find you?
At Dovster9.
Dovster9. Of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports, both in English and in Hebrew. We bring it to you in both. I'm excited. Dov, there's some great games coming up this week. I'm looking forward to it. How about you?
Yeah, very exciting. Great times to be a basketball fan in Israel.
It's always a great time. Looking forward to that, Dov. And we want to thank you very much for coming on board, and we'll speak to you soon.